Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
yet another periodic table recycle. Now I'm trying to get the 7th period D block. There's only the P block, 7th period P block to go to get the last 6 elements. But I'll see if I can get up there. So what I've done, just to let you in, I've sort of created sort of a memory structure to get through that last 10 elements of the 7th period. So there's 7 periods in the periodic table. And there's certain things that I've been doing, sort of learning by letters, learning by association, grouping together, going out, having problems going through it. It's been a big effort, and it's just a project. I don't know how well it helps me in cognitive rehab, but it gives me something to talk about and go. So without further ado, hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, selenium, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, iridium, technetium, ruthenium, rubidium, palladium, silver, cadmium, indium, tin, antimony, tellurium, iodine, xenon, francium, correction, cesium, barium, lanthanum, cerium, neodymium, praseodymium, promethium, samarium, europium, gadolinium, gadolinium, terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, thulium, ytterbium, lutetium, hafnium, tantalum, tungsten, ruthenium, osmium, iridium, platinum, gold, mercury, thorium, thallium, lead, bismuth, polonium, astatine, radon, francium, radium, actinium, thorium, proactinium, uranium, neptunium, plutonium, americium, curium, berkelium, californium, einsteinium, fermium, mendelevium, nobelium, lawrencium, rutherfordium, dubnium, seaborium, borium, then hafnium, metrium, I can't pronounce that properly, damn, strontium, rotgenium, and copernicium. So just go through that last group of 5. It's hafnium, metrium, I can't pronounce it, it's a name of a woman, natrium, damstructium, Rotkin, and Copernican for Copernicus. Now, the interesting thing is that Hasnium was going to be named after the Institute said, why did you name it after the two, there's two discoverers of fission, that there's nucleuses can be broken apart. And so if they can be broken apart, they can be put together. That's Otto Hahn. And, his co-discovered with a, woman, M-E-I-T, Met Nyung. So that's interesting that there's two women specifically identified in the periodic table. That's Curium and Metinium. I'm going to have to get the pronunciation correct, but you can see that I'm trying to get up to the full periodic table, which is six more elements, and I know the last one is Augustinian and Tennessine. I know the second of the last six is Fluvium, after this Russian physicist they want to name. Then there's Neponium. So I know the different ones here. I'm going to have to create a story for the final six and then recite them over again. It's rather noisy here as I'm going for my walk in the Blue Mountains. Up here they're building a road late at night at this intersection. So it's always making a lot of noise. And so I've just got to really focus on this overall. I'll stop at, Nobelium. It's the end of the F block, 7th period F block. I know Laurentium quite well because it's under Lutetium. And so then it's a group of five to get you across the D block. So that's, again, Laurentium, Rutherfordium, Dubnium. I love that, that element. Seaborgium and Borium. Again, you know, intense dislike of, Niels Bohr. He's sort of the antithesis. You can hear the huge amount of noise and it's really stinky around here. I'll go in and, get myself ready for this next thing. It's a real effort. I've got to keep a food diary, take my blood pressure I've got to take my blood pressure three times a go and put them down. I've got a sort of a novel, or twice, I've got a novel way of recording that data. And just really nail everything down. They won't let anything go. It's pretty tough. Okay, I'm just signing off at the moment. I'll get back to you soon. So I'm back again. I'll have another shot at reciting the periodic table in a little while, just to break my memory. Researching at the moment MRI, if you're looking at the or listening to the other podcasts, taking a big stab at it, and this is always what sort of happens. You look at the textbooks and you realize some of them are out of date, or if you look at the Wikipedia articles, some of the articles, and you realize that a lot of people really don't understand how MRI actually works. And when I discussed MRI with experts, I asked them, is it this or that? And they agree with both of those things. You realize that I can't really discuss it all that much. But look, there are some things which I'm sort of zeroing in on, which I think are sort of systemic problems actually built into it. Now, it's only a small thing, they use a series of letters to talk about the relaxation time or the response decay time of the echo pulses or what they have in there. And they talk about dephasing, which is T2 or T star 2 if it's dephasing, free induction decay straight after the excitation signal is put in, or T1, which is the overall the thermal re-equalization of a pulse. And there's certain things that they leave out, and it was refreshing to hear in the physics of MRI, sort of like, why does MRI have to have a one article, one aspect, and then a separate article for the physics? That's mad. As if the physics of something is separate from the actual way it actually works. Gives you an idea about the fluff that's associated with MRI. So it's taken a while for me to pick it up over a period of time. So when you go to a lecture, or when I used to go to lectures in the 80s by people pioneering MRI, well, this was fairly simple, fairly straightforward, and of course there's another sophisticated techniques there. But as a spectroscopist, I've got to pick up all these capital T sub R, which is the repetition time between excitation pulses, and T sub E is the time to echo. And it's a bit hard to actually see what they actually mean when the echo pulse is given, when the echo pulse is received, that T is. And they have the T sub 1, T sub 2, T sub 2 star, give you all these component information. Now the thing which I pick up, I think is a legitimate criticism of this, is that the T they use in T sub 1 or T sub 2, or loosely called T1, T2, is they use capital T. Now, capital T is not what we use in spectroscopy for the lifetime. We use a Greek small lowercase tau. That capital T is reserved for temperature. And so I could imagine the capital T R and T E, capital T, big Roman temperature, so Roman letters there would be good for, say, instrument settings, that's okay, but for an experimental thing that you pick up in a response, which is a lifetime, I think it is confusing that you use the capital T, so that's my going on there. And then, essentially, you have a way to get a slice. So if you have a tuning of a radio frequency and magnetic field, so the magnetic field, now what I don't quite understand is how you could get a sagittal slice. That's a bit beyond me. How you can get a field gradient. I can see how you can get a field gradient top to bottom, left to right, down an axis, because you just sort of increase the overall current in a certain area. I don't know exactly how you'd do it. I sort of can imagine how you'd do it. But how you can get a sagittarial gradient is something I'm sure it can be done. So these are the gradients to get slices. And then in it, you put a pulse, and you read and frequency analyze the signal out. So essentially you have to get a 2D signal into a 1D wire at some stage. And of course this is done by Fourier transformers. You go in, you read the formula, and the formulas they put are sort of like big, but they're sort of not much, they're really just sort of like the standard definition for a Fourier transform is. And so you sort of read in it, and so I'm reading through the Wikipedia article, I suppose, which is a good base article to read through on how it's done. And, I don't know, it's a bit dodgy by saying, oh look, we take a group of things, so you can imagine the angles that the net polarization vector is at a non-quantized angle, which I suppose you can say that, or the net coherent quantization vector is at a particular angle for an ensemble, and there I think is sort of like a real confusion gets in. It's sort of where you sort of allowed classical physics to raise its ugly head in the field of quantum domains. And it's really interesting that the physics article, which I have had to have separate from the actual popular science article, you know, like popular science is separate from physics, they said, well, look, it really is spin a quantized state, but they don't put any of the Einstein equations or any of the fact of why you can't get a full population inversion. Like, you could get a population inversion, you could get the actual patient delays, you get to saturation, but it is interesting that they say that the fact is the amount of relative inversion is relatively low. Then as you read into it, not in the actual Wikipedia article, but in the other articles, you pick up they spatially encode the information by a particular voxel will have a slightly different shifted frequency of response and a slightly different phase. So left to right is a slight variation of frequency, and front to back of a particular thing is a slight change in phase. So if you do your Fourier transform of this frequency, you'll get exactly the image. That is, each component is actually broadcasting at a phase and a frequency in your Fourier transform, so you are sort of tricking it. You're pumping it and tricking it. You're spatially frequency chirping it and phase chirping it, such that the signal, when it comes out, is an image. I just don't think they're saying that really, really easily. So basically, if you do a power spectrum or a Fourier transform with, on the, x-axis the frequency, on the y-axis the, phase, and then, the brightness equal to the intensity of that frequency and phase, it means that you can actually pump your signal spatially with a frequency and phase. So it's frequency and phase, so you are actually exciting the signal such that your slice will emit different frequencies and different phases from each individual point. You've got two in the XY coordinates of your slice. You have two components which give you the frequency and phase. And so that's like how the imaging happens. So this is why. Now the Fourier transforming is just mind-boggling how the computers can be that fast. I just can't. Just to give you an idea, I am toying, or was toying around with using a whistle, sort of as I spoke, and so rather than pressing a button, it would do a Fourier spectrum of my podcast, pick up when I did the little whistle, and then edit according to it, so I could actually just speak into a normal, any phone, anywhere, and I'd know how to program my podcast by whistling. But the computer speed to actually do that takes a good fraction of a second just to do a single pixel equivalent there. So that's going through there. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to soldier on reading article after article on MRI, podcasting it, getting along. And similarly, the important thing is that I just also watched the thing on memory, and of course that's the main thing I have to build is the memory and connections going forward. But they said that taking a different situation and processing what you read will embed it, sort of restructure the initial information and re-put it in. So I think the podcasting effect is definitely much bigger. So if I actually go back over an article and skim read it after I've read it, I'm very much aware that my depth of reading is much bigger after I've read it. Well, that being said, I used to be able to just go through articles and just not even read it. Just my eyes would go over it and I'd be able to pick up the gist and various things that eyes would say out without actually consciously reading it, remember certain things of it, and that's gone. And hopefully I'll get back on top of it. Now, what I want to do in the second part of this podcast is go back after looking at a different thing and seeing if I can do a recall of the periodic table. And when I do the periodic table, in the back of my head I say, oh look, I've gotten that, things like that. And it's really interesting to recall if you remember something that's automatic and the wrong thing goes in, it's a real tussle to stop the wrong thing going in. So, without further ado, back to the periodic table. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, selenium, bromine, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, ruthenium, rubidium, palladium, silver, cadmium, indium, tin, antimony, tellurium, iodine, xenon, cesium, barium, lanthanum, cerium, neodymium, praseodymium, promethium, samarium, europium, goldium, gadolinium, terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, thorium, yttrium, lutetium, hafnium, tantalum, tungsten, ruthenium, osmium, iridium, platinum, gold, mercury, thallium, lead, bismuth, polonium, astatine, whatever that one is, radium, francium, radon, francium, radium, actinium, thorium, proactinium, uranium, neptunium, plutonium, americium, californium, americium, curium, Berkeley, californium, fermium, einsteinium, mendelivium, nobelium, lawrencium, rutherfordium, dubium, seaborgium, borium, hafnium, Mitrovium, whatever her name is, I have to learn how to pronounce it. I only learned about it today. It's a pretty amazing person. Mitrium, Dramstatium. What a stupid name. That's the name of the city where that institute is. Yeah, bloody hell. Dramstatium, Rocinium, and Copernicum. Then we've got six others to go. I still won't go onto them. I'll wait till I've built a story of it. So that's me doing the periodic table. And I'll just leave it at that. And I'll think of something else to walk and podcast about. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.